Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
Adventurers! Well, that's what I say for the Elder Scrolls. I got distracted because Rick subscribed. thank you, Rick, for the sub. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. It is the end of the month. It's actually the end of the month for us because it is the 30th right now, and I have my patrons joining me to discuss creating characters in a Fallout tabletop role-playing game and what type of characters that we would create. And this is going to be fun because the options, there's actually a lot of different options, everything from Vault Dwellers to ghouls to super mutants to hairy death claws and robo brains and all sorts of fun things. So this is going to be great. We've got a cast with us, and I'm of course excited to talk to all of them. But also, by the way, this episode is coming out not this week because I have interviews from GCX that are coming up in just a few days when that this week's episode drops. So the episode will be up next week for anybody wondering. But here we go. Let's get into it. Welcome back to a bunch of faces that I've seen before and a bunch of faces that are new. Welcome, everybody. We've got Lil Green and Pumpkin and Germinator, Void, Nova, What Is Name, Andy, and Ebony Kitty. Welcome to the show, everybody. So excited to have you all here. And we're going to do, sometimes I do the little thing where we count down at the beginning and then everybody makes a funny sound. I want you to make a sound that would be the kind of thing that your character might say in the type of voice that the character might have. And we're gonna do it all at the same time, so it's all gonna be a mess, but it'll be a little bit of hints and see where things are going with everybody. So ready, on the count of three, get ready to unmute. In fact, go ahead and unmute. One, two, three.
Should the grease out of space?
From.
Okay, that was a mess. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for being here. Void, in the pre-show, you said that you would like to go first. And before we begin talking about your character, let me explain this to everybody just a little bit. In Fallout, the video games, which many of you are familiar with, you can only really be a limited selection of character designs. It's not like you can design, like we can now design ourselves as a ghoul in 76, but that's a very new thing. But you can't be a super mutant or a robot and those kinds of things. But you can if you play Fallout in tabletop. And so that's the idea, is we are all building characters as if we're about to start a tabletop adventure, which we aren't, but who knows? One of the ideas I had after this came up in chat was like, what if we just played like in our imaginations kind of tabletop version of the game in a patron chat in a future episode, which could be a lot of fun. So keep these characters around. But Void, what kind of character will you design? What is your character like? What is their race? Or what kinds of things are they focusing on? Do they have a backstory? What's their name? All of that stuff. Take us on a little journey here.
So they don't really have a backstory, mainly because it's a super mutant. And so, but the super mutant is meant to be more of a like boss type character, like boss of a, like one of the super mutant settlements. He almost exclusively uses, what's it called? Melee weapons.
Okay. Does he have a name? So can you tell us his name at the beginning so we can call him something?
His name is Gonk.
Gonk. That's great. That's a good super mutant name. I like that.
And he exclusively uses melee weapons, so he can just gonk people. And he has a super sledge and 12 grenades.
12 specifically, because, 12 grenades.
Well, it asks for an amount, so I just put 12.
Sure.
And then he has a piece of gutter off of somebody's house, and it's made of out of like really thin, flimsy aluminum, so it really doesn't do jack shit. And then he has a full suit of XO1 power armor that he doesn't need a frame for because he just puts it on like regular armor.
Nice. Nice. I like that. So he's, but he's like a regular sized super mutant. Is he, I mean, he's the leader of thing. Is he bigger than the others? Is he a behemoth? Is he just a regular one?
I wouldn't say he's a behemoth, but I would definitely say he's a bit like stronger than an average super mutant. Okay. He's got a strength of 10, an endurance of 10, and an agility of 10, while all of his other specials are fours.
Yeah, they're all like a baseline for Fallout 2D20.
Right.
So it was kind of a dummy, bad luck.
Yep.
All the other stuff. Nice. All right. Now, you said he doesn't really have a backstory, but he has to have something going for him, being that he's the leader of this group. Do you have in mind how he became leader? Did he have to like kill the previous leader to assert his dominance, or like how did that work out?
Basically, he was shunned from his original sect, I'm going to call it, of
colony
of super mutants. Yeah, colony Whatever. Of super mutants.
What is a group of super mutants called? It can't be a murder because that's like crows, right? Like a murder of crows, a flock of seagulls. I don't know. This is a good question. Chat, if you guys know what a group of super mutants is called, let us know. But yeah, from his clan, whatever it is.
Yeah, so he was basically shunned from his previous clan, and so he just went out on his own, ended up surviving long enough to find a functional suit of XO1 power armor. And he came back to that clan and basically killed the original leader, killed all the people that were loyal to him, and everybody that was terrified of him just basically knelt and
Okay. And did he find something that gave him the ability to do this? Was there like a special weapon or some sort of adverse thing he overcame in order to become stronger than the other ones? I feel like there's always this like some sort of culmination that like, or training montage in like an old movie, you know?
Well, I mean, alongside the XO1, he did find the super sledge. But before he even found those, he was basically just fighting off the wasteland. Mm. And this is how he became strong enough to survive on his own. Whereas normal super mutants, I don't know that they would really survive the wasteland alone.
Right. They rely on their communities. NukaCast in chat says, I think it's called a warband in the tabletop. Okay. So that makes sense. Super mutant warband. All right. Well, let's open this up. Does anybody else have any questions for Void, for Gonk? I see what is raising your hand. Go ahead. What?
So my question is about the XO1 power armor. How is he actually wearing it? So you say he just puts it on, right? Doesn't need the frame or anything. But if he's larger than a typical super mutant, I don't really, you know, I kind of...
He just kind of slips it on, whether it fits or not. Like, if it doesn't fit, then it just splits at a seam weld and just is there by tension then.
Yeah, a lot of super mutants will just kind of like wear things as armor, even though they don't fit. They just kind of like rope them to their bodies, you know? Right. So I would imagine it's like pieces of the power armor just like in spots. Maybe even not even in the right spots, you know, like just kind of hodgepodge together on him.
And so also so you said his weapon is as a gutter?
No, his main weapon is a super sledge that he found alongside the XO1.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Mm.
But the gutter is for when the super sledge either breaks or like he hits somebody too hard with it or something like that, or it goes flying because it's a rocket powered sledgehammer. The gutter is basically just a funny little bit that.
Nice guy. I love that. All right.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Who else has questions? Any other questions? Feel free to just toss them out to Void. Anyone else have thoughts or questions about this character? Nobody? Oh, I see Ebony Kitty. What are you thinking?
Whereabouts, like wasteland-wise, would you say they're set?
Yeah, where do they live? Are they in the Capital Wastes? Are they over on the West Coast?
I'm going to say in Chicago.
Chicago.
Because we know that we have an enclave base in Chicago.
Mm. So was this the result of the enclave base specifically? His mutations?
I'm going to say it was like an outpost of the enclave base.
Right,
but like he found the XO1 in.
Oh, so the location of the armor. But what about being a super mutant at all? Was your character the result of direct experiment by that enclave? No? Maybe? The wheels are turning.
Regarding how long it takes to level up, well, like level up strength and everything like that within the games, I'm going to say that he traveled from like the Boston area and the Commonwealth area over all the states through that wasteland, which we have no clue what even lies in there.
Got it.
Into Chicago and found the XO1.
Got it. That makes sense. Cool. All right. Good question. Any other questions? No other questions. All right. So we've got Gonk the Super Mutant. Thank you, Void. Starting us off with a Super Mutant. That's always a good choice. Who would like to go next? Who are we adding to this group? It would be funny if we combined all of these into a party at some point and had some sort of justification for why they all end up in the same place and work together. Ebony Kitty, I see your hand. Actually, you know what? In the pre-show, Pumpkin wanted to go first, but ended up saying that Void could go first. So let's.
Ebony Kitty can go. I've got a couple more things on it that I need to do.
Okay. So Pumpkin's still finishing up his Ebony. What kind of character are you building?
So mine would be a swamp folk, which I assume are Myrlurk type humanoid.
Swamp folk, I believe, are like the people in what was the DLC where they're up in the swamps? What was that called?
Point Pleasant.
Yeah.
So they're like the redneck Point Pleasant swamp people.
Point Lookout.
Okay. That's it. Yes.
They'd still be swamp folk, but mine would be set in Nashville because of the Bass Pro Shop Pyramid. The character's name would be Theseus.
Great.
The leader of group that they're from is named Poseidon, because you have the Parthenon in Nashville.
Uh-huh.
So they would, essentially, it is just Theseus, uses a trident as a weapon, has Aqua Boy, big leagues, is essentially on a quest to become the king of Athens.
Nice. Is Athens, Georgia? Like, they're on a journey from one place to another?
Yes.
Or Athens, like actual Greece Athens.
Like Greece Athens. Oh, like, okay. I have a whole headcanon for Nashville. But essentially, they're wanting to take over the Parthenon.
Okay, right. Way over in Greece somewhere. Who even knows if it's still there? Because
The replica in Nashville.
Oh, the replica in Nashville. Okay, got it. All right. I love that they all have Greek names, that they're all pulling from mythology. That's pretty cool. Any other details, Ebony Kitty? Anything else going on? Like, what do they look like?
They look kind of Myrlurky, but humanoid.
Okay. So what does that mean? Are they like, they're just always wet and sweaty, or do they have like a
shell?
Yes,
they are always wet and sweaty.
Got it. So they
are kind of slimy to texture.
Nice.
Because I assume they lived almost symbiotically with Myrlurks.
Yeah. Like they're swamp people who actually legitimately live in the swamp.
Yes.
Got it. Do they have like a Myrlurk pet?
No, but they do. They fight with their trident in a way that mimics Myrlurks.
Okay, Myrlurks don't have tridents. So when you say that, does he mean? Do you mean like their claws?
So, kind of like the kings, how they're very aggressive.
Okay. Interesting. Do they have a last name, or it was Theseus, right? Was it Theseus?
Just Theseus.
Okay. Did they have a last name, or is it just Theseus?
Just Theseus.
Okay. This is a very interesting character. I can kind of visualize what you're describing here. All right. Let's open this up. Who has questions about Theseus? Anybody have questions? Nobody. You guys are not very inquisitive today.
I have like no question, but more like an idea.
Okay.
An outpost. They built like very like not like Caesar's Legion, like taking all the stuff from Roman mythology and building up stuff, but like more like using very cheap movie props to build up their settlement with like plastic pillars and stuff like this. Like it's more looking like a Disney Hercules movie or something like this, but in the swamps.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They like pull a bunch of old props and things and set them up. So it feels kind of like a classic, like designed place, like ancient Greece or Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like
that. Like it's, I've been a couple of times to America, and as a European, it's always fun to see how like American people imagine European culture and right. like imitating it in like restaurants and especially in Las Vegas.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah,
there's like these, how is it called? This, Italian place like made like Venice.
Yes.
Was it called?
Yeah. And yeah. There's a Venice. There's like, there's one place that has a number of different places. Like you have like a little Paris, and then you have like a number of different places.
Yeah. It was like at this big casino hotel all look like Venice. And it's fun. If you have been to the original place, the American place almost looks better and cleaner than the original Venice, you know?
Right, because it's all been being like attended to by casino staff rather than just like the people from the regular city. Yeah.
Yeah, but everything feels like very like not natural, but kind of looks better in a imagination way.
Like a little cartoony slightly. Yeah. 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 I totally get what you're saying. If you go to theme parks, it feels kind of the same way.
Or
if you go
to like Epcot, kind of that.
Epcot, and then you go to the different, you tour the different the places to go. Yeah. Yeah, that totally makes sense. What do you think about that, Ebony Kitty? They're pulling props and kind of building their own approximation of like a classical looking place.
That's exactly what I had in mind.
Cool. All right. What are they focused on with their stats again? Or did you say that? I forget.
The stats were melee. Repair and speech, because Theseus was known to be a very melee because he killed the Minotaur, speech because he was a very charismatic king, and crap, what was the other one I said?
Melee, speech, and repair.
And then repair just because I like repair.
Well, it also makes sense if he's kind of constructing his own place, he would need repair in order to do that. So. Yeah, that tracks. Okay, cool. Any other questions? Anyone else? No, I think we're good on this one. All right, Theseus is fun. Rick in chat says, Rick Retro in chat says, Theseus needs a ship, which I also agree. Does he have a ship? Do you understand the reference, Theseus's ship?
Yes.
You know what that means? Like the idea that you replace a ship piece by piece. At what point is it no longer the same ship? Does he have like a ship, or is it his home that gets replaced piece by piece?
Yeah, it's the I would assume the pyramid would probably be nicknamed
the pyramid of Theseus.
Yes.
Nice, because that doesn't even, that's like a jumble of like Egyptian and Greek together, and so that totally feels Fallout-y, right? Like they don't have a real sense of history, so they just kind of mash stuff together and like, yeah, this seems right. I like that. All right, Ebony Kitty, good one. Who would like to go next? Pumpkin, are you ready? Are you ready yet?
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
Okay, what kind of character are you going with?
So I got a ghoul.
A ghoul. Okay.
My ghoul's name is Goggles.
Goggles the ghoul.
So everyone knows that a lot of ghouls don't use their real name after a time. They kind of make up name, and that's what they go by.
Yeah, like
Goggles. That's what Goggles.
Right.
Goggles is a pre-war ghoul who was a mechanic in the military. Now he was terrible at being a mechanic. But he was great at bartering out of things. So at the day the bombs were falling, he was given a job to take a vehicle, a big truck, to a dump site. And in this truck is lots of just nuclear waste. But as he's getting it from A to B, he goes through a tunnel. But as he's entering the tunnel, that's when the bombs go off and the tunnel collapses.
Oh, okay.
He is now trapped in this car for 6 years. He lived off of 1 week of food before he started the ghoulification process that he had in his lunch bag.
Okay. That's a lot of food in a lunch bag, but okay.
As now, you know, years go by, then he gets let out. out of, he gets let out of the hole. Someone hears his radio playing because somehow that's the only thing keeping him sane. Mm. And someone digs him out wondering, what's this sound? He gets out and he is still like, he's not okay. Definitely not mentally all there, but he's sane enough to be like, you know, not, I'm not going to kill you right
off
the bat.
He's not feral, but he's mentally damaged the way anybody who would be in solitude for 6 years would be disturbed by that. Yeah.
But he still has all the power, all the like things of like, he can still barter. He's good at speech. He's able to talk his way out of things.
Okay.
Nowadays he's, you know, he works in a store as just, you know, he's kind of like a traveling merchant, but he still is like, you know, he can go on, he can help the player with missions, all that kind of thing.
Okay, cool. That's a fun, that's an interesting backstory. What are his stats? Like, what is he focused on?
So his stats, he's, so a lot, again, it's not very strong. His charisma was put up to about a 7. His perception's a little low. So like I said, he's not a very good mechanic. Mm-hmm. So, I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was like his strength was at a 5. His endurance was at a 4, 6, 7, okay. Like basically mainly it's a speech build.
Got it. Okay. What kind of weapons and things does he usually go with?
He normally carries around. Yeah, sorry. He normally carries around a combat shotgun just because he doesn't need too much, but he carries around a combat shotgun and he usually keeps a decent amount of caps on him because he's, you know, he trades. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, that makes sense. Now here's a question. His name's Goggles. Is there a backstory for how he got his name Goggles?
So one of the things that he did to help him stay sane was that he kept cleaning his goggles. He had his goggles on him when he went in, and as he gets out, he just keeps them on him, and he basically wears his goggles 24/7.
Nice. Does that mean that like his face has ghoulified around the goggles?
He like, still takes them
if
off.
If he were to take them off, would they be like the skin on the inside would be like paler and like?
Well, he's already gone, so like, you know, a ghoul's eye, like it's gone around there, so it's just a little deeper in.
Right. Or maybe there's like the flesh inside where the goggles go has like all like worn off.
Kind of like a leathery texture to
or, him. What I'm thinking is maybe even just goes straight to the skull. Like the skin isn't there anymore.
Not like that. He doesn't wear them that much, but like he wears them a lot.
Okay.
Or like very, very smooth and human, like very beautiful eyes behind the goggles and everything else is rotting away.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. That would be the flip side, as the goggles have preserved the skin in there. And for some reason, the rest of it is all, you know,
worn. Like the most beautiful eyes you've ever seen.
Right. Like I can imagine a moment in a movie or something with this character where he finally takes off the goggles and then like the woman love interest finally notices his beautiful eyes or something.
It's like the ghoulish equivalent to like opening the ponytail of the nerd girl.
Yes, all of a sudden she's beautiful because she let her hair down.
He is also one of the very few people that can use a mysterious stranger.
Oh okay, why is that?
So yeah, but other than that, that's really Goggle. That's Goggles.
Okay, but do we not know why he can use the mysterious stranger? Is there a backstory for that?
He really doesn't know. He kind of thinks he developed it while stuck in the truck.
Okay, weird. So, but okay.
Yeah, he's not fully there. So like to him, he thinks it's just him seeing it.
Right. That's how he tried to stay sane, was that he imagined somebody else there. That's the mysterious stranger, right?
So it turns out it's. An actual
it's
thing.
Actually real. Like every so often he would hear voices from outside his like hole he was stuck in. Turns out it was actually a real person, and that person's been trying to like help him out for a long time but couldn't actually dig him out until somebody else showed up with like the right tools or something.
That's Goggles.
Yeah. Oh sweet, I like this. I like Goggles. All right, let's open this up. Any other questions or thoughts about Goggles? Anything that you guys would be like, oh, this would be a fun tweak or something you could change or just find out more about? Nova, go ahead.
Does he have like any weird quirks that have been like a result of him being isolated for so long, where he goes like occasionally feral, or is he for the most part sane? He just acts antisocial or weird.
For the most part, he's sane, but every so often you'll kind of just see him talking. Nobody around. He'll just start It's like he'll act like he's in a conversation.
Is he act like he's in a conversation with a specific person, or is it just like all people from his past?
It's just an open conversation. He's looking at something that's not there, and he's just talking.
Now, is it like a random assortment of things that he just responds to that he's hallucinating, or is it always the mysterious stranger?
It's randomized. Okay. So, like, think of like.
Right. So sometimes it's like it could be a memory, or sometimes it's just something else that he thinks is there that just isn't there, or whatever. It's just kind of random. Cool. Good question.
And what does he do in the post-war world now? Like, what's his job? Or like,
how does he trade? He's a trader.
He's a merchant. Okay. He's a traveling
merchant. So he's a traveling merchant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Does he have a specific pack animal? Does he have like a Brahmin or something else that helps carry stuff?
He likes Bighorner. That's a big thing.
Okay. All right.
So,
and is he still trying to peddle himself off as a repairman, or is he giving up that shtick when the army?
So he has the option for you to repair your stuff, but it doesn't do much.
It's like five.
It's really bad.
Yeah, it's like a 5%.
Oh my god, that's great.
Thanks, it's basically he just shines up the weapon and hands it back to you. Doesn't actually fix anything. It's just shinier.
Just breathes on it and just dusts it off with his elbow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with him constantly cleaning his glasses, how much of the glasses actually left? Or has he actually worn holes through them?
Ooh.
So the lenses no longer exist.
So they're just pretend lenses?
Since he's not there, he's still like he's acting like they're there.
I like it. All right. Also, what is his range for his caravan? Like, where is he stationed and what kind of
area? He goes where the money is.
So has he traveled across the entire country? Has he traveled into Canada or Mexico?
He has traveled back and forth a few times.
Okay.
So are you saying he's a jet merchant probably? He probably just sells jet. Because if he goes, that's one of the theories as to why the cap spread all around the country was because of jet.
Right.
So.
Yeah. It would make sense as a ghoul too, that you would trade in chems. Cool. This is a good one, Pumpkin. Anyone else? Any final questions? Any final thoughts, Pumpkin? Anything else? Nope. Pumpkin's good. All right, cool. Let's move on. Who would like to go next? Next on the list, we've got Andy. Andy, first of all, welcome to the show. So glad you decided to join us, and thanks for staying up late. I know it's in your part of the world, it's like the very middle of the night, early morning.
Oh, yeah, it's 3 a.m., but I'm like on a training course with my company, so I'm on a hotel. Not cool. Disturbing my family on anything. That's pretty good.
Well, that's good. That's good.
I'm glad to be here. And we're in Germany. We're playing like the Wasteland Warfare miniature game. And it's all set in Oklahoma. Of course, I've been into the States like a lot. And my home base was in Oklahoma City all the time. So we decided to set up our setting there for our campaign. But parallel to our like miniature game, we tried to get into the D20 pen and paper game. Mm-hmm. I always think it's interesting that we don't know that much about like Europe or the state of Europe in the Fallout universe. I really like that they keep it in the shadows and don't like flesh it out that much.
Right. Right.
So my character idea is like a DDR spy. So like a little history lesson. Germany was like, after the Second World War was split in half, we had like these American, British, and Russian zone. And the Russian zone, like from the Soviets, was like a real life socialist experiment, I would say.
Right, yeah.
So my idea for Fallout was like the DDR, so the German Democratic Republic, the socialist part of Germany, never faded away. We had like in 1990, we had like the big reunion of Germany. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, the wall DDR came down, joined. All of that stuff.
Yeah. And so in my idea, it was the other way around in Fallout.
Oh.
So the capitalist part of Germany was like joining the DDR to get like socialist.
Okay.
With all the like the evolution of the world and how the world changed in the Fallout universe. And we had this big civil war in Europe. So they were like socialist and more connected to the Communist Party. Mm-hmm.
This feels like a very Fallout-y kind of alternate history event. Oh, yeah. I like where you're going with this. Yeah,
we had like this German movie Goodbye Lenin, and there was like it takes place while Germany were reuniting, and it was from the point of view from like citizens of the DDR, so from the Eastern Germany part, and their grandpa was like dying, and this reunion was like almost there, but their grandpa was like a diehard socialist.
Okay.
So for him, created the story that it was the other way around.
Ah, okay.
So that his dreams not fade away when he is dying.
Okay.
So he was like, oh yeah, the capitalist assholes going down. Them. And we are rising up. So it was the other way around. It's like a dramatic comedy movie from Germany. So that was my idea. So and the DDR or the Soviets sent like a spy to America to check out these Voltech company. So my character is Harald Gurkenschmidt.
Wow.
And they changed his name to English, so he's not getting that much attention. So he's Harald Cucumber Smith.
That's great. And,
Cucumber Smith. He's like getting into like Voltech, and he's gonna be a vault dweller, and he's very young and a very promising young spy. But some month after he get into the United States, get his secret identity, the Great War happens, and he was like stuck in that place.
Okay, is it a specific vault, or is it just kind of a generic one?
Oh yeah, we were like I said, we want to set up all the stuff in Oklahoma, but it's pretty generic. We can put him everywhere, anywhere we want.
Got it.
So he got into a vault and is like sat there with this very patriotic, like capitalist brainwashed Americans.
Right.
And he's like socialized. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's like stuck there and had this very different mindset. And yeah, it is his first abroad mission. And he tries to make a living in the wastelands after he get out of the vault, and everything is fucked. So he's like, yes. Oh man, I'm here with all the people I hate and try to make a living. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's a nice idea, and got all these German flicks to bring in. So when we play Fallout, it's like a very American game to play. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends I'm playing the pen and paper and the miniature game with never been to the United States. So it's a very good way to transport like Fallout ideas with German influence and German history, so we can mix it up and they feel a little bit more home when they act with these characters and stuff.
Yeah, blend it all together. That's something I'm very interested in as an American playing Fallout. It's feels very normal. It's a very American focused game, at least so far. Who knows, maybe we'll get other locations in the future, but it doesn't go very far outside of the US.
I hope they don't do it.
It's like,
it's one thing about for example, for Warhammer 40K, they flashing out so much of these stories that was like in the shadows and not paid attention that much in the past, and now they are like opening it up, and I don't think that's a good idea. I think it's always nice for the players to have a little
mystery.
Point where they can use their own imagination.
Right. Okay, so Cucumber Smith, what was his first name?
Harold? Oh yeah, the German name is Harald, so I would change it up to Harold.
Harold, right, yes.
And Gurkenschmied is like cucumber is Gurke, yeah?
Okay.
And Smith was like the blacksmith Schmied.
Right, yeah, there's a lot of people in the U.S. who came from, like, I don't know, England with the last name Smith, right? Yeah, that's very common. So that makes sense, cucumber Smith, I love it. So is he still in Oklahoma? Is he still in that area? Is this setting, say, within the lifetime of somebody after the bombs drop, or is there something that causes him to be able to continue living on past that?
It's like our campaign is set between Fallout 1 and 2.
Okay.
So, his vault got opened. We are not there. So our campaign started in California, and it's a road to OKC. So they have to manage to get through half of the country to get to Oklahoma.
Yeah,
so,
over the mountains and all that
like
stuff.
Yeah. Maybe a bomb hit the vault or something, so it's opened up.
Okay. So then
at this point.
Got it. Well, that's fun. This is a lot of detail you've put into this. Let's open this up. Who has any questions or thoughts on this?
Why Oklahoma specifically? That's like one of the most bland states you can imagine. Because only tornadoes
it's
there.
It's very bland America.
And weed.
And a lot of nice people. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time there.
I live pretty close to it. I've been there quite often.
Oh, yeah, see. Yeah, yeah. I was like at Punk Rock Bowling 2013 in Las Vegas and met some very nice people from Oklahoma City. And I hadn't any place to go. So I joined them.
I was talking about in lore, like why in lore?
Oh, yeah, in lore. There? Oh, it's more like that I have spent like month and month there. So I have a lot to say about Oklahoma and know the places. And they got these brick city. So like red brick buildings in the downtown Oklahoma City, so that's a pretty nice thing to build for a miniature game. And yeah, I think it's the place in America I have the most knowledge about, and I like it because all the time I went to the US, the border, is it the border police or border patrol, the first people you talk to when you're like a foreigner at the airport. Mm-hmm. And they always were like, yeah, where are you going, guy? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to Oklahoma City. And they was like, what the fuck? What are you going to do in Oklahoma?
Why?
What is a German doing in Oklahoma? And that was like the sentence, what is a German doing in Oklahoma, was the idea for the character.
Which is kind of funny, because I bet if you polled the majority of people who live in Oklahoma, at least half the population probably has a German background.
Yeah, that's what the people tell you all the time. My ancestors are German.
Americans, great. Because we're all this hodgepodge. We all like to say, oh, my family's from there. But like the people who still live there look at you like, no, you're American, duh. Like, what's wrong with you?
And also it's like very like central in the country. So I don't see why a lot of atomic bombs should have been sent there. Mm-hmm. So it's probably not that damaged at all. I think that's an interesting idea.
Unless there's like a military base near the city or in the city, places like Oklahoma City would be much lower on the priority list, for sure.
Yeah, but you can play around with ideas like radiation, tornadoes, and stuff like this.
Yeah,
I was about to say Oklahoma's dead center in the middle of Tornado Alley, so there'd be a lot of radnados around there.
Yeah, yeah, red natives and stuff like this. I think that's a pretty cool thing. And you have this red desert all around. And I my idea is like build like a lot of places I have been to in the Fallout universe for the miniature game. Like I always stay at the bar called Lost Highway, and they have like as a logo, as a sign, they have like a flying, how is it called? Like the thing, aliens.
A UFO.
Yeah, a UFO as a logo, and that's pretty Fallout-ish. So I want to play to build that place in the tabletop miniature game.
Yeah, cool stuff. Also, real quick, I have to point this out. I have a feeling that Pumpkin and Void are in a vault where every so often they swap physical appearances. I think that's probably what's happening right now. Anybody who's listening on the audio platform is not going to notice the fact that they are now in each other's webcams and they're clearly in the same place and have swapped. And they're just been sitting there waiting for us to notice. So this is very fun. And let's open this up. Any other questions? I guess we already opened it up. Any other questions for Andy as I trip over all of my words because I talk too quickly? Any other thoughts? And chat keeps on wondering who the guy with the hat is in the background who keeps walking by in your cameras.
He looks like a lot of fun.
It's the mysterious stranger.
He's just Rick Retro. He is the one in the comments.
Nice. Nice. It's the mysterious stranger just showing up every so often. Yeah. And, there's other people back there. Nice. Awesome. Hi, everybody. All right. Well, I think we're probably done with some questions for you, Andy. Thank you for the insight there from your perspective on Oklahoma and the states and a
My
character
pleasure.
That would be a fish out of water character, a vault dweller who isn't supposed to be that vault dweller, who's pretending to be somebody else. That seems very interesting. I like the layers on that. And I would imagine you could design a story arc around a character like that, where they come into that setting and everyone's their enemy because they're a spy, but they can't let on to that. But then certain people get through because the human thing of like getting to know people and, oh, these are actually really real people, and the relationships that evolve from that, and then being lost in the wasteland again and how that changes a character. And
their I think it's like a very nice flick to you're from a socialist country getting into a capitalist country, but then everything changed because of the Great War and you have to fit in. And maybe you like it in a way. You learn that new society you don't don't know shit about capitalist countries because you're from a socialist country. Yeah. And now it's a wasteland, and maybe you will like try to fit in. And I think it's a very you can build a story up about around that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd imagine there'd be a massive culture shock when he gets to America. Like, wow, there's so much stuff on the shelves, and then the Great War happens. Like, oh, just like back home again, there's nothing.
Right.
Yeah. But I think for a socialist, like getting raised in a socialist country, maybe it's like very abstract to see American society, especially in Fallout. Like everything is so much, and it doesn't make that much sense because everybody is using these products that not really necessary at all. And then the Great War happens, and everything is fucked. And you're like, oh man, this is like maybe it's like it feels like home or something like that.
Maybe
that's exactly what I just said. It's like just like back home again.
Just like back home. Yeah, everyone's poor again. Oh well. Yeah, I would imagine
my wife is from the eastern part from Germany, so she have like a lot of from her family that got raised up in socialist Germany, and it wasn't that bad at all, I would say.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, I would imagine in the wasteland, the division between capitalist or socialist starts to be way less important. It's more about surviving and how are you doing that?
Yeah.
For sure. All right, well, thank you, Andy. That was great. All right, who would like to go next? Who hasn't gone yet? We've got what's his name? I'm going to say it correctly this time because I read things too fast. But hey, welcome. I'm so glad you decided to join us this month.
Dude, it's great to be here. I've listened to quite a bit of the podcast lately, so I really cool to be here. So does my mic sound good?
Yeah, you sound good. So so who's your character?
So it was kind of hard for me to land on one for a while because anytime I've played tabletop games like D&D and stuff, I've always played like a high agility, high speed stealth builds. And then anytime I play Fallout, no matter what I try to go for, it always turns into a high DPS tank build.
Okay.
No matter what I go for, it's just what it always turns into. So I decided to meet in the middle. This is based off of a character. So I don't know if anybody's watched Invincible, the Prime Video show.
Yeah. Yes. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm familiar with it.
Dude, great show. So yeah. I base my character off of Rex. Rexplode. So backstory is he started out as a human. So when West Tech had the entire town locked down in Appalachia and was slowly feeding them the FEV virus and was slowly killing them, his backstory is he was not born yet. He was very close to being born, and he got some of the effects passed down from the FEV.
Oh, utero, right? Like in the womb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So what ended up happening was any of his bodily fluids was extremely superheated and like acidic and explosive.
Wow.
So what ended up happening, which is totally inaccurate to lore or anything else, is the Enclave came in and paid his parents off to take him to do experiments on him.
Okay.
And over the years, they continued to do experiments on him, and they got to a point where they overdid it, and he was going to die. So what they ended up doing is they took his brain out, and they put him into an Assaultron body.
Okay.
So
I love that you built up the idea that like their body fluid is a very important and mysterious and powerful thing, and only to completely remove that from the equation.
So, but it comes in a little bit later. So took inspiration. Well, kind of.
Okay.
So they took inspiration from his bodily fluids, and they replaced the Assaultron's laser weapons with plasma weapons.
Like, but blood plasma?
Well, just typical plasma.
Okay,
but because it's the Enclave, they're very technologically advanced. They took what they found in his bodily fluids and they integrated it into weapons in him so that anything that he touched, he could turn into plasma and use it as a projectile.
Oh, okay.
So he can any metal he touches, he could pick up a gun and throw it, and it would become like explosive plasma.
Okay, so he's like Gambit.
Yeah, and so what his stats are? Well, I guess the three pinged ones is he has obviously explosives. He has my screenshot just disappeared. So he has throwing, so he can throw the projectiles.
Okay.
He has explosives, and he has athletics.
Okay.
He has zero speech because, yeah, so in the show, he's kind of a dickhead. Mm-hmm. So he has no speech. Not a lot of people like him. But what he did is he flaked from the Enclave, and he became a kind of not quite a Minuteman, but he started helping people.
Okay.
So he's helpful, but also nobody likes him very much as a person.
Well, he's also terrifying because he's basically a robo-brain Assaultron with a male brain in a female-looking body. Assaultron?
So, yeah. So, and then the really cool, just little detail. So I don't want to spoil the show. I don't want to spoil
Invincible. Oh, so this is very, very closely tied to the show, huh?
Yeah, so that's what... So. Because, Rex in the show is kind of a tank. He gets shot. He gets shot in the back of the head at some point. But he can also touch anything and turn it into an explosive. Mm. And so, but part of it being a robot is that if ever necessary, he could hypothetically touch himself and blow himself up.
or pull a piece of him off and then throw that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. I like it.
So,
I like
it. That's that. So, and his name... it was going to be Vex, but I figured that was a little too close. So I haven't really settled on a name. So Vex was actually the name of my last stealth build in D&D.
Mm. And Vex is cool. It is close, but Vex works.
So that's my character.
I like it. Okay, so this reminds me. Have any of you done a explosive build in New Vegas? Have you ever played New Vegas as an explosive build? And if not, what are you doing with your lives? Because you absolutely should be playing an explosive build in New Vegas. Because you start out really close to the boomers. There's tons of dynamite right at the beginning of the game. And if you increase your stats in explosives and then use vats to just drop explosives at everyone's feet, you just blow everyone to bits. So this is what I'm imagining is happening with your build, is something like that, where... every time you come across anything that's has to be blown up, it just pieces everywhere, and that's just the path you leave.
Yep.
So that's cool. All right, let's open this up. Who has any questions or thoughts on this? What would you do if you came across a robo brain Assaultron who can throw plasma explosives if they just pick up rocks?
Me and Void are in the same room. We thought of Iron Man 3, the villains.
The extremist group.
It's Iron Man 3. They're the guys that have the superheating thing.
Yeah. The guys, they get all hot. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what me and Jeremy were thinking.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Germinator, did you want to say something? Go ahead.
As an officer of the Enclave, I cannot endorse this idea, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Nice. Void, did you have something else you wanted to add? It looked like you maybe were adding more to what Pumpkin said. No? You good?
We also tuned in at a really bad time at male brain and female body. So that's what we heard from then on.
All right.
Earlier. Right. So it's we don't have the full concept of the character. Okay.
So he's a character that has explosive or very hot body fluids, whose brain gets taken out of their body, put into an Assaultron body, and then they now can pick things up and heat them in order to throw them as explosives. Was that a good quick summary?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
So they can turn any material that they pick up into plasma, like a plasma rifle. And then throw it as an explosive projectile, like a plasma grenade, pretty much.
Yeah.
So is this the thing in the hand as a whole? Or, say, for example, you have sand. Does that basically turn it into a massive scatter shot?
That's good. I didn't think that deep into it, but that's a really that's a solid question.
Or like a cup of water. Like if you had a cup of water and then you threw it so that the water splashed out and it would all be like plasma water at that point.
Dude, those are good questions. I didn't think that far into it.
Yeah. I really like the
imagine
idea
player,
of
imagine
sand.
Clearing a room.
Like sand getting hot, getting glass, so he can throw hot glass at people.
Oh, yeah.
I think that it would depend on how quickly you heated up the sand, because if you held on to it for a second, it's going to turn into one ball. Right. If you were to superheat it super fast and throw it, I don't think that the sand would...
Like a hardcore snowball match,
right? Yeah. Or if you would purposely
you do it to
cause
people
it to be a ball, can you heat up a person and throw them?
I mean, I don't. I guess probably anything that can get superheated into plasma. So
anything. Okay. That's anything.
It's very very handy. Like you can heat up like meals and stuff. I would. I don't know what I would do if I met him, but the socialist spy Harold would definitely try to talk about socialist ideas and get him as a companion, so he can like help people and heat up meals and stuff. And they make maybe they open up a little restaurant or something.
I hope the people like their steak well done, because it's going to cook really quick.
Yeah, you can just touch a Brahmin and heat up the whole Brahmin and then explode it into little bits. And then you just eat the Brahmin.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. This is fun. This is a fun idea. All right. Any last questions for what? Anyone else? No? This is fun. Did you say the name? Oh, yeah, Vex. You're going to go with Vex.
Yeah, yep.
Or something similar. Something kind
of
inspired.
Yeah, I mean, you guys can throw some names in there. I don't care.
Okay.
But
is Vex confused by the fact that he was a male person but now has a very shapely Assaultron body?
Nah, he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. He's like, that's cool.
He's a badass. He doesn't care.
Got it. Nice. All right. This is a good one. What? Very creative. Who would like to go next? We've only have a few people left. Who hasn't gone? Nova hasn't gone. Germinator hasn't gone. Lil Green hasn't gone. Germinator, you want to go?
Sure, why not? So, my character is a communication specialist with the Enclave, of course.
Of course, of course.
Of course. And he was born within the Enclave and about as Enclave as you can get, to be honest.
Okay, so full-fledged Nazi. Families. We'll just put it out there, full-fledged Nazi.
Basically, I mean... Then his name is Hans Clausewitz. So
oh, wow. Oh, he's German too? Oh, no.
Of German descent, yes.
Okay. It seems like he's very of German descent, like recent German descent, because still has like an accent with his name that sounds German, like his family speaks German, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And he specializes in being a one-man communications company. So
okay,
he's got a strength of 9, which gives him, according to this, a 340-pound carry weight.
Right. Does he carry like a big radio pack with him?
Yep.
Okay.
Radio pack, batteries, antennas, everything in the one.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine a guy wearing a radio power armor without power armor.
Right. Like somebody from like World War II or something, who would be like the radio guy with the backpack and the antenna.
Yeah, but bigger. And right. With the ability to tap into the different transmission towers dotted around the wasteland.
Okay.
Because, you know, they're there and they're not being used.
Right. What was his name again? I was too busy laughing.
Hans Clausewitz.
Okay, got it. All right. So any other details about Hans? Where does he live? What's his? Is he part of a specific Enclave group? Is he out in the wasteland doing reconnaissance? Like, what's he doing?
Yes, so he is based in Alaska.
Oh.
Specializing in long-range nuclear bombardment.
Ooh, okay.
So he's basically getting ready to drop hell on whatever gets in his way.
Got it. Is this pre-Great War? Is this during some of like the skirmishes and battles that were in Alaska? Or
no, this is post. This is post.
Okay.
So New Vegas era.
Okay, because... if you get close enough to the war, the Enclave existed. Some people absolutely were working for the Enclave. There was no ambiguity about that. Like, I didn't know if this was like something like that or if this was post. So how long after the bombs are we talking?
New Vegas era. New Vegas era. Okay. Say 230 years right. after.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Pretty close to where the timeline ends up.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Now, it's slightly off canon. The Enclave took over Nellis Air Force Base as well. So they've got all the Boomer's artillery and a B-29 at their disposal.
All right. All right. Is he on like a mission? Does he have a specific goal? Like, what's his motivation?
No, he just takes his orders and does them without question.
He's just a good soldier, just doing what he needs to
do. Very good soldier.
Got it. Okay. All right. I don't know if I have any other questions. Anybody else have any questions for Germinator? Anything else you want to flesh out about this? He's 100% human still. There's not like a ghoulification or anything that's happening. Yeah. All right. What? Go ahead. What's raising his hand? Oh, I think you're still muted. There you go.
So So a simple question. So we know that the Enclave is like a super hyper American, like the higher up rich people. How did a recent German join the Enclave?
Or is he just descended from German people who kept their traditions?
He's a descendant. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a descendant from the original Enclave families.
Right. Because sometimes
the Enclave had Germans in it, just like the Americans took Germans during and after World War II.
Doing like Operation Paperclip kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Sweet.
Cool. Cool.
No, so what exactly is he trying? Like, what exactly is his objective in Alaska if he's like a nuclear coordinator for nuclear strikes? Like, what purpose does that serve in the Enclave's higher goals?
He is trying to hack into the system to target the Chinese remnants.
He's still fighting the fight against the Chinese.
He is still fighting the fight.
Got it.
That's
instilled by his family.
That sounds great. Someone that is like
his sole purpose.
He wasn't there when the Great War happens and the the Great Battle in Alaska. But he's still fighting the war from what he knows about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Is he in Anchorage?
He's in, just outside Anchorage at the artillery base that you visit in.
Yes. Intercontinental Artillery Base, yes.
Cool.
Or whatever, I forget what it is, Intercontinental Artillery or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Which also launches nuclear artillery.
This is going to lob, 24-inch high nuclear explosive, high-velocity artillery shells across the entire Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, has he actually launched any nukes at this point? Has he launched nukes? Or is he on the quest to do it? He's done it already. He's done this before.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's an interesting spin on the lore would be the idea that members of the Enclave
constantly bombarding China from Alaska with remaining stockpile. Just like
I would imagine either it is just like, well, this is just what we have to keep doing, or they have some, being that he's a communications guy, maybe he's picking up radio signals, like long wave radio signals that prove that the Chinese are still there. And so he's like, well, we didn't eliminate them yet. We got to keep going.
Yeah. Like an annual holiday.
But wait, so does he have like a counterpart in like Guam or Hawaii or something like that they're trying to triangulate where the radio's broadcast originated from so they can precisely aim the nuclear blasts?
Well, no, nuclear blasts is basically like a shotgun. It doesn't matter what you aim it at. Its vicinity is enough to destroy anything you aim at, really.
I think you realize that China is so massive. Well, if he's trying to...
He would want to target, So he would want to target a specific city or stockpile. Right. Right.
Yeah, well, that's why you have radio direction finders, and judging by the strength of the radio signal you receive,
if there's like a counterpart to him, like Hawaii or Guam or somewhere, so they could triangulate the broadcast.
Wouldn't even have to be that far away. It could be as close as
an oil rig,
Washington, or an oil rig. Exactly.
Who knows if the Enclave has other oil rigs out there, and if these up in Alaska, it would make sense that there might be oil rigs around, or down the coast of the, the side of the west coast of the country, or wherever. So, Something like that
or might submarines. Be enough to try and,
yeah. Well, I was saying Guam or Hawaii because I just can imagine.
Oh, Nova disappeared.
The banter between, I just negative 700 degrees outside. It's terrible. It's like, oh, cool. We have a parrot right here on our balcony. Just the contrast between the banter between them. I think it would be hilarious.
Right. One is freezing and one's in some sort of tropical,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Cool. All right. So you've made a straight up enclave soldier who's just continually bombing China still. I love it. All right. This is fun. Any last thoughts on this one, Germinator?
Not really.
Cool. All right. Awesome stuff. All right. Nova, do you want to go? I know Lil Green said he would go last, if at all. Still maybe working on a character?
I can go. So,
okay.
So my character's going to be a civilian. Just he's me, Nova. He is a former Desert Ranger that had been pushed all the way back to Nevada from New Mexico fighting the Legion. In the course of doing so, he was heavily injured by a Legionnaire. He got a machete slash across his left arm. So he used to be a sniper within the Desert Rangers, but now he can only use pistols. And since the Battle of Hoover Dam, he has since retired. He now lives within the Sierra Nevada mountain range on the outskirts of a small little settlement. And he is acting pretty much just as a prospector. And so he's prospecting the local mines, the local any industry that he can find, and any like the surrounding little abandoned towns and cities within the local area. And he is bringing the salvage back to the small little shop he runs in town.
Okay.
And he also adds as part of the militia, but because his arm is no longer good, he can only use a pistol, but he still likes to keep his hunting rifle around though, for old memory's sake.
All right. And what was his? Oh, his name's Nova. You're just going with Nova.
Yeah, just me. Yeah. Okay, I couldn't think of a good name, so I just threw my name on there.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. So it sounds like he's been around for a while. Is he middle-aged?
Oh, yes. He's about 50 years old.
Okay.
Right. So now,
kind of an older guy. Okay. All right. And does he have motivation at this point? Does he like seek revenge on the Legion or this individual?
So no, his motivation was like, he's a broken man. If I'm being honest, his entire family and his old city what's the capital of New Mexico again? I'm forgetting.
Capital of New Mexico. Anybody know? I don't remember names of anything, to be honest. Capital, we'll just search it real fast.
Santa Fe?
Capital of New
Whatever,
Mexico.
Let's go with Santa Fe. Well, Santa Fe was sacked by the Legion.
Santa Fe is
his entire family was murdered by the Legion. Well, his wife and daughter were taken as slaves by the Legion, while his son was killed in the battle, and he was forced to evacuate with the remaining civilians that he could save. And so his motive at that point really was just to get revenge, but like after the Battle of Hoover Dam, though, he just decided to settle down because there was no more motivation for him after that, because the NCR had won and he did not see himself being able to pursue the Legion across the desert anymore. So he decided to just try and live his life as best he could with the remaining time he had.
Wow, he's kind of a bummer. Like, is he depressed or is he just retired? We're both.
it's both. Like I said, his entire life was ruined by the Legion.
Yeah.
And so he is trying to rebuild as best he can, but he is more of a solitary figure than anything. Mm-hmm. Like I said, he spent most of his days prospecting because he realized he needed something to do. And this is something he used to do back when he was part of the Desert Rangers, when he would go through old military ruins and he would try and recover as much as he could, much of the equipment that he could, you know, guns, weapons, ammunition, explosives, armor.
Technology of any sort that would be useful.
Technology of any sort that would be able to help the Rangers in their fight against, you know, desert scoundrels before the Legion came about. Mm-hmm. But since then, though, like I said, he's just a broken, rundown man. And so he just spends most of his day prospecting, going back to his old routine, because he's pretty handy. He's pretty handy with the technology. He can disassemble most things and, you know, fix whatever he really needs to. But he does run a still, though, and out of that goes how's making moonshine, though.
Oh,
so that's his that's his little secret to keep happy.
His happy juice. Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
Can I, in my own headcanon of your character, can I have him speak like an old timey prospector from like a Looney Tunes cartoon or something, where he's like, "Well, shucky dang darn, I'm the old prospector."
I think that's a little bit too cheerful for him. I think he'd be more just down the. I think he'd be a little bit more run down. If I'm being honest, like he would.
Okay.
Often give monosyllabic responses would not elaborate, because if anyone would ask him, like, "Oh, what was it like back in Santa Fe?" he would just say, "It's gone.
It's gone.
Don't live there anymore.
Don't live there anymore. Don't prospect out there."
Yeah,
because I'm an old prospector. Okay.
I moved out here to get away for a reason. So I'll just leave it at that.
Can he say,
sound like Sam Elliott?
Okay. Can he say yippee-ki-yay at some point? So,
When he's using dynamite, he does.
Oh yeah, that's what he says before he throws the dynamite.
Yippee-ki-yay, Raiders!
Take this, Raiders! Yippee-ki-yay! All right. So he sounds like to me, like the kind of NPC that you would come across in a game who was just like down and out, and then you provide like one little piece of information, and they're like, "Oh, well, okay, well, here's what I want you to do now." And all of a sudden they have motivation for something for the first time in forever, you know?
Yeah, like I kind of based off of Old Man Longfellow from Far Harbor. Like that was kind of my starting point, was him. And so like, if you could, you know, if you do bring back something reminiscent of his old past, then he would obviously reminisce upon it, and he would probably open up to you, just like,
yeah.
I didn't really think this far ahead, but if you were to find some object in the world that did remind him, or possibly even like, you know, his wife's necklace or something like that, because she probably got brought along with the Legion to New Vegas,
right? Yeah,
to serve as a slave there, and then in the ransacking of the fort, she probably got killed, but you recovered her necklace, and so you bring it back to him.
Right, and that was like a wedding gift.
Or he's like, have it with you, and he sees it on you, and he's like, "What's that right there?"
Right, like, "I know that necklace. That was my wedding present to my wife." Yeah.
I found that in the church, and I gave it to her.
Mm. Okay, cool. I like this. Who has questions for Nova? Let's open this up. Any other questions on this character? Everyone's just like, everyone's just depressed now, Nova. You've just ruined the mood. What has a question?
Really, really good.
Andy likes it. Yeah, go ahead. What? I saw your hand raised.
Well, so because he got his arm slashed by a machete, is it amputated or is it just messed up?
It's just bummed.
So because, I mean, I shoot guns in real life, and I shoot long range, and I prefer to shoot one-handed long range. I like to hold gun here, and I like to rest my other arm right here. Well, I also have a bipod.
It's also not about that, though. It's about transporting it. So it'd be very hard to transport a rifle across the desert with you.
Yeah, just a sling over the shoulder.
Well, I have 60 guns. I know about this, but I'm saying that it's the lore.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine a justification for why, you know, on the fly, if something's running at you, you're not going to want to put down your pack, open it up with one hand, try to make sure it's loaded, you know, like all of that.
He can like operate a zipper, he can lock pick with his left hand, but it's not dexterous enough to hold it up, to hold the rifle up for a long time, because he's not going to, like, in a situation like that, he would be running around. He wouldn't prop his rifle up onto onto a tree stump, more than likely. If something comes out of the woods, you're not going to find the local closest tree stump or half brick wall to prop your rifle up. You'd be standing out there in the open, probably kneeling down to shoot. Yeah. And his arm would be too shaky. So that's why he only uses a 3.7 Magnum now.
He can't use his old
44 anymore.
Is his like primary arm the one that's wounded? So he has to use, like, if he's right-handed, he has to use his left hand?
No, he is right-handed, but you would support your outstretched arm would be your left arm typically, and then that would support your rifle mostly. And if that's shaky, your scope's going to be shaky, and you're not going to be able to hit very accurately.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Andy, did you have any other questions? Yeah, you kind of chimed in there for a second.
No, just want to say that sounds great. And in general, all the guys telling so cool character stories, probably use them for my RPG adventure.
Yeah, there's all sorts of, it's always fun to get together with everybody and have their own perspectives on like what would make a cool, you know, answer to whatever question we're coming up with, or a cool character for the game. And I can imagine all of these as being some sort of variation on even a character in the video games that are NPCs that you would come across, you know, like even something as crazy as like, well, this is an Assaultron with a human brain in it and throws explosives, you know, like the game is wacky enough to do weird stuff, but also realistic enough to kind of lean into certain other things. And it got such a broad spread, you know? So cool. Any other questions for Nova? Anybody else? All right, Nova, any last thoughts, Nova?
He also really likes silver. So whatever, any silver where he finds on the wasteland, he just puts on it in his little collection.
Okay. All right. It's like he's panning when he finds little streams or something.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, kind of like, yeah, spoons or plates or anything with silver in it. He just likes to keep it.
Got it.
It's his little autistic hobby.
Okay.
No, why does that remind me of the episode of American Dad where it's the end of the world and Roger just collects his spoons?
Oh, my God. Huh. I forgot about that.
Okay. All right. Well, cool. Thanks,
that's funny.
All right, Lil Green, are you playing? Are you doing a character?
I'm going to sit this one out this month, guys.
No character from Lil Green.
Nah, I'm sorry. I'm party pooper.
That's okay. Anything you want to share? Anything you want to tell everyone, since you can at least take a moment of a spotlight?
Not really at the moment.
Okay. All right. So this is fun. You look through the different character types and you have a lot to choose from. We kind of just touched the surface here. Vault Dweller, Survivor, Brotherhood of Steel, Ghoul, Robot, Super Mutant, Brotherhood Expanded. So, you know, variations on side groups and that kind of thing. Civilian, Enclave, iBot, Hairy Deathclaw, Fallout 2, we're looking at you. Intelligent Deathclaw, also Fallout 2. Militia, Old World Survivor, Reaver, Robobrain, Slanter, Swamp Folk, Tribal, and Tribal Survivor. What is Slanter? Slanter doesn't... you guys remember what Slanter? Forced Evolution, S'LANTER. Do you know what that is a reference to? I feel like I should know this, but obviously it's not coming to mind. So, don't know what that is. So, if you want to, you know, so sure somebody on the internet will be like, Robots, you're an idiot. I'm not going to listen to your show anymore. This is what it means. Is the tabletop game can for Fallout lore? I don't believe so. If you talk to Bethesda devs, they've listed out the games that they consider to be canon since they own the IP, and that includes all the mainline games and Tactics, I believe. I think those are the only ones that are actually canon with quotes, plus the TV show. So there you go. All right, everybody. Thank you for joining me. This has been super fun with all your different characters. We've been going for, over an hour now. Let's wrap this up. We're going to go back through and feel free to share ways that people can keep track of what you're doing, or, you know, just thanks for being here, all that stuff. Let's just go. I'm going to go through the screen in order. Lil Green, we're going back to you. You're going to kick us off. Lil Green, thank you for joining us, even though you didn't design a character.
No, I'm sorry. I'm being a party poo. No, I'll just do my typical thing of, if you want to talk to me, you can find me on the Instagram. That's a different one. On the Discord under Lil Green. If you want to see my photography, you can find me on Instagram on Lil Green_photography. So I've actually had a couple people in the past month add me. Actually, someone from Canada too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really about it. I actually got some content I'm pushing out from the past like couple weeks. So yeah, no, I'm mildly active there. Great. Yeah, go like my stuff.
Yeah, go check out his stuff. Yeah, thanks, Lil Green. Pumpkin. Wait, is this Pumpkin or is it Void with a pumpkin face on? Are you guys? Which one are you now?
We switched back. As you can tell, I am in Indiana. Okay. I'm only out here for about two weeks. I'm here for Gen Con.
Nice.
So more info on that from when Jeremy does his thing. But of course, you can always find me on the Discord. I do have a blue sky at the Pumpkin King with the E being a three and the I's being ones. You can actually find that link in the Discord on the blue sky page.
There's a channel. Yeah, a channel. Where if anybody's curious and wants to follow a bunch of us from the Robots Radio community, go to the Discord. There's a link in the blue sky channel that will give you the pack or whatever it's called, where you'll just find all of us. So you can follow all of us all at the same time. So yes, there you go.
Yeah. And we will be in the having our little after party in after this. So
in the Discord.
So you can always hang out with us there. We're going to be doing that tonight with actually all three of the five people of Dungeons and Dipshits.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure Void will talk a little bit more about the podcast when we get to Void. Very cool. Well, thanks for joining us. And I hope you guys have a blast hanging out. That sounds great. Germinator.
G'day, g'day. Just the usual from me. If you want to contact me, I'm Germinator just about everywhere. Easy to find, at least.
Awesome.
And not much has been going on my end.
All right. Well, keep on bombing the Chinese with nukes.
Gladly.
Oh, no. Anybody who's listening, this is not an actual political stance of a real world situation. This is all fictional and does not include any real people. I'm not saying we should go to war with any nation. Everyone should be peaceful and all of that. But in a fictional world, this is hilarious.
He's coming for you, Chairman Chang.
Oh, man. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, thanks for joining us, Germinator. Void, I hope you guys are having fun.
Oh, yeah, we are. So as Logan said, we are the three of us, Riley Bell, who plays Ezio Truffles, Logan Williams, who plays Access to the Light, and me, Jeremy Geyser, who is the DM of Dungeons and Dipshits, are all going to be at Gen Con for probably all 4 days. Wow. So if you want to, August 1st through 4th, or July 31st to the August 3rd, we're going to be at Gen Con. So if you're in the live stream, there you go. But other than that, this is the first time that we're all getting together. He's from Illinois, and that one crossed the country from Montana just to see us. So this is very fun for us.
Very cool.
But yeah, my name is Void on the Discord, B01D696. You can always find me. My DMs are always open if you need to rant. I'm always here for mental health. I'm a great listener. I probably won't give you solutions, but I'm here.
That's how therapy is supposed to work, though, is you're supposed to share things and then you come to your own realizations. So you're probably doing it right.
Anyway, I'm done with my outro.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us again. Nova, you got anything going on?
Nope, nothing going on, but I'm always on the Discord. Nova Dokumaru on there. And just like with Mr. Nazi over there, not much going on with my life either. Just
oh no, our Australian Nazi.
Australian Nazi just gave us all a salute. He didn't do a Sieg Heil though.
That's good. It was a regular salute. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing else going on. Just living the average American life, I should say. Yeah. And I have a dog eating my hand right now. He really wants attention.
All right. Hi, dog. What's the dog name?
His name's Kajin. He's a Bernese Mountain Puppy, and he is the biggest Velcro dog I've ever seen in my life.
Oh,
I can post a picture in a second if you guys want to see.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
awesome.
But anyways, yeah, I'm just on Discord if you do want to say hi to me.
Slanters are FEV mutated raccoons? Wait, that's a thing? How do I not know about this? I'm going to have to look. Maybe I have to do an episode about slanters. How do I not know about are you familiar with this? They were cut from the game. Oh, okay. So they're like cut content. That's why I'm not familiar. Oh, thank you, NukeCast. So NukeCast and chat is filling me in on this. Thanks so much. All right. What's his name? I'm going to mess up your name forever now. Thank you for joining us. Yeah. You got anything going on? Anything you want to share, put out into the world?
Well, I just want to say pleasure to be here. It's really great to actually be in the podcast. I think it's really cool to be here. But you can follow me on Instagram at what's his name? WUTSIZNAME. And then I'm on Discord. I work a lot, actually. Well, I have this entire next month off.
Wow.
But I joined the Army and I ship out September 2nd. So I'm taking the month of August to myself.
Got it.
So unfortunately, I'll only be able to join you guys this month and next month. After that, the government will own me.
Yeah.
But, no, it's been a really good pleasure to be here and meet all you guys. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for the support. And I'm glad you were able to join us and look forward to next month. And good luck. Good luck with your service. And thank you for serving and all of that.
Oh, no, thank you.
Well, thanks for being here, man. Let's go to Andy. Andy, your first time too.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for staying up late.
I'm Andy. I'm from Germany, and I have a Fallout podcast in Germany. Just wrapped up season one, started with season two. So
nice. What's the name?
Maybe Germinator can listen to it. Yeah, it's Nuka Cast. So I'm the guy in the shed.
Nice.
Yeah, it's Nuka Cast. You can find it on Instagram and stuff. Yeah. It's not all German content. We have a lot of like the miniature game content. I'm hanging out with a cosplay group called Vaults. They just built a T60 power armor, fully wearable, running around at conventions. And it's it's a nice experience to have like this view to this very American Fallout lore from a German perspective. Yeah, and I'm glad to hear to be here and really enjoy your content. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Good luck to you with your show and all of that.
You
mentioned Power. That sounds awesome. I got to go to GCX, and you guys are going to hear the episode in like 2 days or tomorrow since you're patrons.
Nice.
But while I was there, I got to meet the voice actor in person who does Paladin Dance. And I got to see him put on power armor for the first time. It was freaking incredible seeing that in person. Also, if you've seen the power armor, not just in the games, but in the TV show, you can see how big it is on screen. But when you're standing there next to somebody and all of a sudden they're over 7 feet tall in power armor, it is insane. So if you have an opportunity to go to something like a GCX where they have like a Fallout section with there were laser rifles, there was a Mr. Handy, there were all the different helmets, there were like all sorts of things. It was very, very cool. So you'll be able to hear some of the interviews and things very, very soon. So Andy, thank you for joining us. Thanks so much for taking time to do this.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
All right, Ebony Kitty, you're wrapping this up for us. Anything you want to share? Anything going on?
Not much. Halloween season's right around the corner, so my haunted house will be opening back up.
Nice.
Excited for that.
Is it Fallout themed?
It is not Fallout themed, but it is spooky season soon.
Yeah, spooky season is just great on its own. It's just I didn't know if you were incorporating maybe some ghouls or something in there.
No, just I love spooky season. Otherwise, I'm in the Discord by the same name. Love talking about Fallout. Reach out if you want. That's about it.
Very cool. Well, thanks. Thanks, Kitty. Thank you to everybody for supporting the show and for being here. To wrap this up, I've got some new patrons to welcome. Some new people signed up in the last 2 weeks, I think it's been since I've read these out. Dreyless, Leviathan, Matthew P., and Richard E., thank you for joining us. And shout out to Germinator again, our only sentry bot. So if anybody else would like to be a sentry bot, get shout outs every week. You're welcome to do that. But thank you for the continued support, Germinator. And we did get some reviews that came in. We can kind of read these real fast and you guys can respond if you want for fun. This one came in from Day 24. Found this about 2 weeks ago. Super hooked. I like the podcast better than the show. And I'm about to dive into the games and going to start at the beginning. Thank you. You're amazing. Well, thank you so much, Day. And then this one came in from Jesse the Grouch, who writes, finally caught up. Robots or Tom does a great job of exploring the Fallout universe. I podcast at work and appreciate him helping me make the hours fly by. He's inquisitive and has a gentle nudge pushing you to explore the philosophical aspects of the series and setting. Tom has a genuine concern for the community, and that comes off in the monthly patron chats. He also has some great father-daughter interactions with Laney co-pilots. Thanks for helping me escape the dread and frustration of our current day's political climate via guiding us on the Robots Fallout tour, Tom. Looking forward to the next 300 plus episodes. 2 Vault Boy thumbs up. Well, thank you so much. Such nice words from everybody. I really do appreciate that. So if you'd like to help out, please leave a positive review, 5 stars on Apple. I'll read that on a future episode if I can see it here in the US. And then you can always leave reviews and ratings on other platforms. That's all very, very helpful. Thank you again to all of our patrons. Chat, thank you for joining us. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week. And I'll be back next week. I've got some cool episode ideas coming up. So I'm not going to spoil them, but some fun stuff. So I'll see you guys soon in the future. Until then, stay safe in the wasteland. And if you are an Enclave remnant hanging out in Alaska, just keep on sending those nukes. See you guys next time. Bye, everybody. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.